I would like to show you a short video clip. When the Chinese people exulted for the first time when they received the Bible in their hands. When was the first time we received the scripture in our hands? What was our first reaction when we received the Bible? Were we exalted? Were we in Christ when we received the Bible? The perception of seeing the Word of God varies between the Christians and non-Christians. For us, this is a holy book, and God speaks to us through that. And we find reverence when we read the Word of God. We see God speaks to us through the Bible. He speaks to us in different ways, through same single verse sometimes. A research was conducted and they want to see how many ways God can speak to us through a single verse. They set the target time as 1 year, 365 days. The person on the research, he started reading the same single verse every day for 365 days. It's not a surprise for us. The Holy Spirit revealed 365 ways to the person. God's word is powerful. We cannot underestimate that. God speaks to us based on our individual momentary situations. God answers our prayers and queries and any difficulties that we go through in our life. God uses this as one of the tools to communicate to us. A series of books that has been published, you might not get expected to find the list of books under the New York Times bestseller. Do you know the name of the book? It is the Book of Useless Information. It was published by the Useless Information Society. And the issues of these copies, books, have been sold at thousands of copies. If you read this book, you can find some fascinating facts, like using the fish scales for making a lipstick. Interesting, isn't it? And then 10% of the US annual income is coming from the organized crimes. And it is estimated half of the spiders species are yet to be discovered. What a wonderful title of the book. And a giraffe has been born recently with 6 feet long. Shakespeare, the sales of Shakespeare books are only second to the Bible. And this is my favorite. In the last 5 years, 24 residents of Tokyo has bashed their heads when they were bowing towards each other. Sadly, the Bible, which is supposed to be the supreme point of reference for the most people, for their public life in this nation, has been perceived today as useless as the useless information, the book. I think it is operating, I will do that. How do we know the Bible is true? Must be one of the questions the atheists or other faith people would ask us. The very nature of revelation is not just propositional, but it is embodied, it is incarnated. Let us go to the propositional side now. There was a person who wanted to do, he was doing a PhD degree. He disagrees with the way they were judging the PhD dissertation. So he goes like this. He makes a profound statement and he says, as told by one of the waiters in the Fifth Avenue restaurant. And then he goes for the next statement and he says, as told by one of the shopkeepers in such and such a place. All were only verbal references. The professor saw the thesis and he looked at him and he said, you cannot write a dissertation like this. You cannot use verbal references. You need to give written references and footnotes. The man replied, why is that so important to give written references rather than verbal references saying someone as a waiter told or some shopkeeper told? The professor said, okay, it's all right. I can see where you are coming from. And on the day when he was graduated, the professor came and told him, yes, we have passed you. We have given you a PhD degree, but we won't give you in writing. Just take my word for it. The inscripturation process is very important because the truth is primarily a property of propositions. When we take the Bible, it is evidently, it is different, unlike Buddha's teachings summoned by Buddha or the Quran uttered by one man and compiled posthumously. It takes 66 books from mid-1400s to the first century, 39 in the world, 27 in the New Testament, and you can see a single thread that goes through all these books. The collision factor, what it has been incredible, is about this. For example, when you read Isaiah, the prophecy he told 700 years before about the birth of virgin birth. Micah, he was telling the place where would the Messiah be born. Zechariah, he was telling the ultimate crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And all of these authors were not contemporaries. But if you put all these lines of significant evidences, take all those hundreds of prophecies and bring it all together, it will point at one person, Jesus Christ. they will all be fulfilled in Jesus Christ. It would have been an extraordinary stroke of a genius to take the retro aspect of all these, brings it together, converging everything together to meet at one point, that is Jesus Christ. Now, the authority of Christ is challenged. It is hanging on the resurrection. If those who wanted to prove, disprove the authority of Christ, they could have told it in a one simple stroke. As Christ would have been, if he was a charlatan, he could have done it in a one single statement. Do you know what he could have said? I would rise spiritually. He would never be able to falsify this statement. After death, the body will be present. And he says, yeah, the body is there. But I said I would rise spiritually. But that's not what Jesus Christ has told. He told he would rise bodily. If the body is presented after his death, the entire authority of Christ would have been devastated. The resurrection factor is the key for the retroactive authentication of the Old Testament. Genuinely, every book of the Old Testament, take major prophets, minor prophets, and the first five books, Pentateuch and so on, they have all quoted authoritatively to Jesus Christ in their books. If you go for some exception, maybe the book of Esther or so. But all these books, you take it and bring it to a point of testing. This is what we need to say. We need to ask how the Bible is not true. Then we need to produce all contradictions and the historical faults to say that this is unacceptable here. We can say that the city is there, it is thousands of miles away from the coastal land, or the city did not exist at all, or 100 kilometers only away from the coastal line. We will be ready and quick in producing the false statements, if at all any falsification possible. After 2,000 years of incarnation and 3,500 years of inscripturation, I would like to say this to you. No book in this world has been most studied. No book in this world has been most scrutinized. Metzger, Bruce Metzger, one of the New Testament theologians in America, and F.F. Bruce, he is one of the famous New Testament scholars from Manchester University. They all have come together for one conclusion after their wide research. What they said, the documents and the authority of the Bible is totally reliable. Metzger, he went a step ahead and he said 99.4% of what we see now in the Bible as corroborated along with the time of history behind when we compare and reference with any historical copies available. 99.4% true. Authority of Bible. Authority of Christ. Some people might have come to know the Lord through visions, dreams, prophecies, or in their personal acquaintances and so on. Some people, they might have come to know the Lord through the Bible. Sometimes a single verse would have been sufficient to pierce their souls. And sometimes the entire Bible is needed for soul conversion. Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He came to know the Lord through one simple single verse. In his biography, he has quoted that his life would have remained in a devastated, in a dark places until then, had not the goodness of God has sent a snowstorm on a Sunday morning when he was walking towards the place where he used to go for worship. It's a beautiful Sunday morning with a heavy snowstorm. He could not move further. So he had to take a side road and he was going somewhere and finally landed in a primitive Methodist chapel. There the preacher was preaching from Isaiah, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth." Indeed, it is a very simple statement. Look, just looking. It does not deal a great deal of pains. It is not lifting even a single foot or a finger. Just looking. A person need not go to college to learn how to look. A person can be the foolishest in the society, yet he can look. One person need not worth a thousand a year to look. Anyone can look. Even a child can look. It doesn't cost anything. Looking where? Looking unto Christ. Christ says, "Look unto me. I am sweating a great drops of blood. Look unto me. I am hanging on the cross. Look unto me. I am dead and buried. Look unto me. I rise again. Look unto me. I ascend into heaven. Look unto me. I am now sitting at the right hand of the Father. Look unto me. Look unto me. Young and old, look unto me." He says, "Oh poor sinner, please look unto me." It doesn't cost anything. Look unto the cross hanging, where Jesus is hanging there. What it says? You will be saved. No more effort, no more money, no more hard work needed. Just look unto him. That kindled the fire in Spurgeon's heart. And he came, he found there was a way to salvation. And he accepted the Lord. In the later days, he was convinced that he needs to take believer's baptism. And he went and told his mother, "I'm going to take believer's baptism." The mother replied, "Yes, my son, I was praying for you to become a Christian, but I didn't pray for you to become a Baptist." With a classic, casual, and Spurgeonic wit, he replied, "Yes, mother, I know that your prayer has been answered with his usual bountiness. He has exceedingly, abundantly blessed your prayer more than what you have asked." So he became a Baptist people of preacher. For some people, it requires the entire Bible to be pierced. In 2007, there was a Bible study or a birthday party happening in one of our friends' home. And I have shared this with you before, I think. And I was there. I haven't read Bible until 2007. I was there in the party. We have invited one of the pastors. He asked some quiz questions before the party. It's not good, isn't it? Asking quiz questions, Bible quizzes. And he started asking 17 questions. And he has given individually the paper and pen to answer. And we were writing the answers. at the end, I thought, okay, they are going to finish it and nothing is going to be shared. I'm not going to be ashamed because I don't know the answers of most of the questions. One question, I know the answer. Because it was a Christmas time, we were singing carols, and it was about asking the birthplace of Christ. So I answered Bethlehem. So I know I'm getting one mark there. And then at the end, he asked us to swap the papers between the people. And he was saying the answers for us to correct. And it was like a school. I was really shaking. And then he was asking, how many of you has got 17 out of 17? The butterflies were there. And for a surprise, there was a genius reading the Bible every day, must be, for 40 years. He has got 17 out of 17. And then his wife, he has got 16 out of 17. I was thinking, okay, he is going to leave it. He is not going to ask anymore. But he didn't leave us. He was going, asking again and again, how many of you got 10, 8? No, I know. You know what? How many I got? Two correct answers. Maybe something else is correct as well, along with Bethlehem. I was really upset on the day. I was thinking, because I was academically good, I was thinking that I will be more competent, I'm good in doing all those things and all those worldly things. In that determination, I thought, okay, I'm going to read the Bible from day one now onwards. I started reading the Bible. It took nearly 1 year to finish. I don't know how much it went inside. But I know one thing. The Holy Spirit started working. The Holy Spirit has arranged that for my soul conversion. When I was reading chapters after chapter, His word was piercing into my soul. I realized, I started with wrong motivation because I wanted to get high marks when the quiz is conducted in any time in future. But God used that wrong motivation for goodness, for His glory, for my soul conversion. I thank God for that. The Bible is a powerful tool. Jesus, He knows the nature and function of the Bible. When He was walking with the two disciples to the road of Emmaus, He was saying, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning Himself. Everything was pointed to Christ. And later sometime He was saying to the wide group of followers, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and Psalms. Salvation is another single thread that goes through all these books. Salvation is the only word in the Bible that has been tortured a lot, that have been misused, misunderstood a lot. And we have been, as a Christians, we are to be blamed for the caricature of it, what we have presented to the society. Now we need to work together to rescue that in a narrow concept. Salvation is freedom. It is a renewal. Renewal of the whole world of cosmos. Salvation is not only the forgiveness of sins, but also the redemption and restoration of the whole mankind. The whole scripture concerns about salvation. And salvation is through the faith of Jesus Christ. The scripture is full of Jesus. Amen.